Welcome to the Catskills Renaissance, a show that aims to introduce you to all that is unique and interesting in this incredibly beautiful and relatively unspoiled area of New York State. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Kriesel.
Right here with you today on CatskillsRadioTV.com, our new station.
Yes, this is only our second show.
I hope we get a third one.
Oh, there'll be plenty more. When was the last time we went to church, Lee?
When was the last?
Well, you know, the last time we went to church was just a couple of weeks ago. But before then, Lee, it's been years. As I recall, it's been since we were going to see Norman Vincent Peale at, what's the name of that?
Marble Collegiate Church. Marble Collegiate Church.
In Manhattan. And we used to go semi-regularly.
Not every week. Wait a minute. Didn't Dr. Norman Vincent Peale die about 30 years ago?
Oh, really? You got to date us, Lee. You got to make it precise.
No, let me redo
all
that.
All right. Redo that and cut it out.
No. Didn't Dr. Norman Vincent Peale die about 10 years ago?
I think so. Anyway, we used to go semi-regularly, and the reason we went is not because we were Protestants. It was because every time we would go there, we would come out flying. I mean, he was such an uplifting speaker that it was just incredible. That was unbelievable. We just come out there flying. Of course, during those days, we were working at clubs, so a lot of times Saturday night, we were working until early in the morning, so we couldn't get to the services on Sunday. But whenever we could, we went, and it was incredible.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. We were working late. We couldn't get to the services.
Well, it wasn't really an excuse, was it?
I'm just trying to use
maybe
it.
Maybe unconsciously.
Could be.
And prior to discovering Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, in my childhood, we went semi-sporadically to church. And once my father died when I was very young, my mother was left a young widow. She didn't even drive. She never was the head of the household or anything. So she had to fend on her own a lot. And so I remember we used to go to this one particular church that helped us. So we went pretty regularly because they were helping my mother, the young widow.
Help, I need some money.
But you know what? Hey, that's a good thing that churches do, right?
Yes, yeah.
They should do more of that. What about your background?
Well, my background, my parents were Jewish, and so...
And so you're not?
No. Well, I'm everything now. But the whole thing was, when you're 13 years old, you get bar mitzvahed. So you were kind of forced to go to Hebrew school and learn memorize what you had to memorize in order to get your bar mitzvah, because the bar mitzvah was a big thing. I mean, it was a big money event. You get presents from all your relatives.
You'd clean up, right?
You could clean. Well, my relatives didn't have that much money, and my parents didn't have that much money, so I had to kind of finance my own bar mitzvah party. But I didn't do too badly at it. But we had this private teacher, Mr. Birnbaum, you know, who was about 110 years old, and I totally didn't relate to him. And the other thing is, I didn't like going to the classes because he smelled so bad. So it kind of tainted me. Although the temple we went to, it was called Kadima Temple near the famous Fairfax Avenue in California. It was Rabbi Franklin Cohen, and I kind of liked him, even though I didn't really relate to, you know, the Hebrew, speaking in Hebrew and understand a lot of the services, but he was all right. But I really got turned off at my grandmother's funeral when, you know, which was obviously we were all kind of sad, and he takes me aside and he's trying to talk business, maybe about doing some music or something with me, and that kind of turned me off at that time.
Right at the funeral, huh?
Yeah, right at the funeral. So
I guess our audience is wondering why we're talking about religiosity. Yeah. But we'll come to it. We have a point.
We do.
So then what happened when I got into my 20s, after that early childhood experience, I got into my 20s and I said, okay, I'm gonna check out all these different churches and I'm going to see what they're about and see if I could, you know, become a member of a church and have some kind of guidance and stuff like that. So I started going to all these different denominations of churches and everything. And I kid you not, these churches, well, let me give you one example. I was in a church once, and the minister had finished speaking, and then another member of the audience asked him why black people couldn't become members of that church. And this is what I had been thinking, but I did not pose the question. But he posed the question, and it was like a hum, 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 and a, you know, there was not a satisfactory answer given. So my experience with going to all these churches was very similar to that one. So I decided, okay, in my view, the essence of religion is spirituality. So I'm going to go and try to be more spiritual in my life and try to, that saying that goes, you know, do unto others as you have them do unto you. That seemed to me like a good guidance. And also another guidance was, and I don't know where I got this, but just whatever your actions are, just be kind. And if you question yourself and say, what am I going to do? Is it going to be kind? And if you can say, okay, yes, it's kind, then you can do it. But if it's going to be vengeful or envious or something negative, then don't do it. Those two things have been guiding me. So now we're going to get to the essence.
Right. Well, boy, you could start your own church the way you're talking.
No, I couldn't.
Reverend Charles here could use you as an assistant.
Wait a minute. We didn't talk about Charles
okay.
yet. I want to
right.
talk about Charles.
Okay.
So my son, or our son, Sean, is coming over every once in a while, and he's saying, you know, there's this reverend, his name is Charles Perez, and you know, he's really kind of good, you ought to go hear him. And I said, yeah. And then I started looking, there's these different Facebook pages from our area that I check out every once in a while, and I would see Charles Perez was posting things, and all of the things that he was posting were very, very uplifting. And I thought, well, you know, maybe Sean has a point. Maybe we should check out this minister and check out his church and everything. But then we started hearing that there was trouble in the church, and we started hearing.
Dum, dum, dum. Wait a minute. Will you say that? Wait a second. Here, say there's trouble in the church.
We started hearing rumors that there was trouble in the church, and then we started hearing. that maybe the minister was going to be dismissed from this church. And then we said, well, how can a minister be dismissed from his religion? You know, and we didn't understand that. So we started getting information from the grapevine. And so that's what brought us to attending Charles Perez's church about 2 or 3 weeks ago for his grand opening in his new space. So we want to welcome Reverend Charles Perez.
Thank you. It's a blessing, an honor, and a privilege to be with you two today. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Charles, can we call you Charles or Rev Charles?
I like the name my mom gave me before there was even Reverend around, so I like Charles.
You like Charles.
Yes.
Okay. So, Charles, what's this rumor that was going around? What happened? Tell us the story. I mean, if you want to.
No, sure. I mean, to be honest, it was very shocking, pretty much. And just to give you a little bit of background. So I was a provisional elder in the United Methodist Church. And so, you know, they give you a couple of years to see if you could become fully ordained. And so what started occurring was that, you know, they said, well, you know, according to our qualifications, you know, we cannot ordain you or even keep me where I am. They actually demoted me. And so they took away my ordination and they turned me into a local licensed pastor. And so after that, they said, okay, we need to see if you're certified as a local licensed pastor. And so I went to the meeting through Zoom, and then they said, okay, we're taking that away as well. You do not qualify. And then after that, I'm thinking, okay, I'll take the humble pie for whatever reason, right? And I said to myself, I'll become a supply pastor. That is the lowest form of being a pastor in the United Methodist Church, which meant that I couldn't do communion anymore. Somebody who was an elder had to do communion. I couldn't baptize and so forth. And then out of nowhere, I just get this news that, and it's interesting, they didn't use the word fire or the word you're let go. They use, oh, Charles, you're going to go through a transition.
I thought they were going to say that. Oh, wow, that's better than what I thought they were going to say.
Yes.
I thought they were going to say crucify.
Oh, there was this one guy who already went through that, and I'm not even close to him. to me, it just felt like there was something else going on that no one wanted to say. If I'm being very honest, I was never directly told why I was let go. And what made it even tough was that, you know, me and my wife, we lost our jobs because she was a secretary, and we lost our home. So we
because they provided a home.
Yes.
And a church.
And paying all the bills, like the gas, the electricity, and so forth. And so from that moment on, we were facing homelessness and joblessness.
Did you have some notice?
Yeah, I had like about 2 months.
Okay.
I had like about
but
2 months.
That's really not enough in this day and age, is it?
No.
With four children, I understand you.
Yes. You know, so if I have come to the conclusion that this has come down to just two people who just didn't like me for whatever reason. One of them from the local church. Look, I've had a great experience here in Barryville. I mean, this community has embraced me and loved me in a way I have never, ever in my whole entire life ever felt love from people. And it's interesting that when this happened to me, people show me so much support and love. Even financially, there was like a unofficial GoFundMe that you probably wouldn't even believe if I tell you the amount. I was very shocked. I was just going to disappear to Virginia, go live with my cousin and my sister-in-law. But God kept opening doors to say, no, you're meant to stay here for whatever reason. And so it definitely, for one person, gave me a hard time because I chose not to take the vaccine. And I could tell that was one of the issues, you know, and you know, I personally just didn't feel comfortable.
Was it voiced to you, or did you hear it from
never.
The grapevine? Or
never.
How did you get that impression?
Because I had to figure out, okay, there's only two reasons you get fired. Number one, if I went outside of my marriage, which the only person that I did mess around with was the secretary, which just happened to be my wife, okay? I just need to put that little note there.
I thought the second one is if you turn Jewish.
And the other one, if I stole money. And I remember, which he's a parishioner now at Barryville Community Church and one of the leaders, he stood up and went through the Book of Discipline, which is their doctrine, and said, has this man done any of these things here? Because according to this book, he has to break one of these rules to be
dismissed.
Fine. Yes.
Right.
And everybody just stood quiet.
Oh, really?
And so
that was your congregation stood quiet.
Well, because they
at
didn't.
At that time,
well,
maybe.
In fairness, everybody was shocked too.
Yes, you can be shocked into silence, right?
And your son was there for that. For the last service, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. And so the reality is that that one person had a lot of power, a lot of control. We call them gatekeepers. You know, people have been there a long time. I put a lot of money in that offering plate. My family's name is written right there on an altar or whatever the case is, a glass stained window, whatever you want to call
my
it.
My name is on the street sign.
Yeah, all that. And so she felt that, and it is interesting because she did the same thing to the previous pastor.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's an issue of, because of that one decision, you just didn't like me. I was treated like some sort of disease, and it just came from her. And so she had a good relationship with my boss. My boss, I didn't have a good relationship with her. It was very objective, our relationship. It was heartless. When she told me it, she didn't even feel for me and my kids and my wife.
Wow. That's on that note.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's very Christian of them.
Yes.
That's the irony.
Yes, very Christian. So, Rev, we're going to take a short break.
Sure.
But we'll be right back, and we'll continue with this. Wow, this story sounds like it's out of the Old Testament, actually, doesn't it? You've been listening to Catskills Renaissance on
CatskillsRadioTV.com.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's the Hooked on Raw Show with Rio on CatskillsRadioTV.com. Get in tune with nature so you can be in tune with yourself. Put away that greasy hamburger and fries and learn how to take control of your health. Hooked on Raw, CatskillsRadioTV.com.
Welcome back. You've been listening to Catskills Renaissance Radio. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Grizzo.
He is still here, still functional.
Right, and our very special guest today is Reverend Charles Perez. Perez, right?
Yes, correct.
Or Perez.
It all sounds good to me.
In French, it's Perez.
Actually, from now on, I want it that way.
Oh, okay.
And he's been telling us about his background here in Berryville, New York. And we are so happy that the Reverend has chosen to stay in the community because we feel that he is really an asset to this community. And even though he has a small space now, it's completely filled, at least it was when we went a couple of weeks ago. And not that we want to chase him out or anything, but we hope that he does build his congregation and get a much bigger.
We want him to have hundreds of people.
Yes.
And online, thousands of people.
One of the things that we really appreciate about the Reverend Charles is that he is inclusive. He's not exclusive. He's inclusive. So his arms are open to anyone. You can be a Methodist or a Presbyterian, or you could be a Jew. You can be anybody, and you're welcome
they
in
let
his
me
church.
In.
Yes, he did.
But because of my background, I came for the food.
Oh, you did?
I'm teasing. I came for Reverend Charles.
So, yes, Reverend is on his way to becoming, he is already, but he is also on his way at becoming a speaker and teacher comparable to Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, because he's very, what I got from the time that I was there is that he's just, something about him just resonates with people. People were just into it. And there was a lot of music and a lot of laughter going on there, too.
And he even put his kids to work.
Yes, he did. Welcome back to the show, Rev Charles Perez of the Berryville Community Church in Berryville, New York.
No, thank you.
So continue on with the story and how you decided to stay in the community.
Actually, I had to do a lot with my daughter. My kids are PKs, and so they've been going to the church all their lives.
PKs?
Oh, pastor kids.
Oh, pastor kids.
Yeah,
oh,
PKs.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I should have said
that's
that.
That's okay.
And so the day I told my children the news, my daughter was very distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw something in my daughter that I was impressed. She went into the church, and she started crying out to God, a little 10-year-old girl. And she started saying things like this: God, why are they doing this to us? My dad has done nothing wrong. And it's interesting, as she cried harder and harder and cried out to God, it rained harder. And she did this for 2 hours.
Wow.
And it broke my heart. Like, even now I'm getting a little emotional because no one breaks my daughter's heart. I love my daughter. I only have one, and I love her very much. It's interesting. When I was 19 years old, I already prayed for her. I already had her name. Her name is Serenity.
Serenity.
And I used to look up to the heavens already anticipating that I would have a daughter. Like, I knew it. And what made it even more interesting what she did was that the next following Sunday, you know, and this is when I didn't have to go here anymore. I didn't have to go to Barryville United Methodist Church. I already did my last Sunday service, but I was still staying at the parsonage, which is their home. And she had a baseball game in Middletown, New York, and we ended up at a Presbyterian church. And the lady preaching spoke to my heart. And even the scripture spoke to my heart. That as she spoke and she was sharing the word of God, I was in tears because I know that was for me. It was the story of Hagar and Ishmael. And so Hagar, Ishmael had to leave because Sarah had her child with Isaac and Abraham. And so Abraham had to do this harsh thing and say, well, you guys have to go. You have to leave this place. And in the story, you know, Hagar is crying out to God because saying, you know, my child is going to die of hunger. What am I going to do? We've been kicked out. And then if you read the scriptures, it says that an angel came and says, I have heard the cry of your child. And I put two to two together, and I was just tearing throughout that whole sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I made the decision to stay. And it wasn't easy because I didn't have a house yet. I didn't have a home. And I don't know, you probably know this better than I, getting a place around here, rental, is not very easy. Especially because they wanted to stay in the same district. My daughter was crying out saying, but I love my softball team. But she even cried out and said, but I'm going to miss the dog, the neighbor's dog. She even mentioned that.
Kidnapped, you know, the neighbor's dog.
You know, Quill. Like, and so she said she made friends. So it was personal for her. For my daughter, I realized it was personal, but I saw her faith in the midst of a storm come out. And the blessing, now that I look back, all that she has been taking in, all that her father has been teaching her, wow, it has made a difference. But it took a moment of a storm, of such a tribulation, for that to manifest, for even her faith to manifest, to cry out to God. And so things started lining up. Like I said, the unofficial GoFundMe was about $5,000.
Wonderful.
Hey, just people who came to me.
So you got supporters, definitely.
And so it just came out of nowhere, people knocking on my door, people saying, your videos made a difference in my life. You know, it just seemed like God was using people in this community to stay. It's meant for you to stay here. And so I was blessed with a parishioner, Robert Robinson, great guy, who opened up. So he just built a new house, and I guess me and him realized, and some of the leaders, I guess for now, it's going to be God's house till we find a new place. And so...
And God said, you don't charge me rent.
So you had a place to go.
Yes, and he didn't charge. He's a great guy. He's one of my leaders, a great parishioner. And so, you know, everything just worked out, and I'm just in awe of who God is, and I'm just grateful. And it's great to be here at this moment, here and now.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah, actually, you the other day you mentioned a story that was interesting.
Yeah.
It was when you were younger, and you said, you know, your background, you said you were from Newark, and
yeah,
you used to get in a little trouble from time to time, and you realized that you were saved from possibly going to jail, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a knucklehead. The reality is I had parents who only spoke Spanish, and let's just say I took advantage of that. I'm the only child. They didn't know the culture. They didn't know what was going on. And so, you know, I remember one time, I do have a background, and I thank God, overcame addiction. Fortunately, when I was younger, just to make extra money and easy money, you know, selling drugs was involved. And I remember being this 19-year-old kid. I was just going down the block, and this police officer stopped me. And this police officer stopped me and said, and he actually got it right, "You look like someone selling drugs." He stopped me and said that. And I had some in my pocket. And, of course, I was smart enough to say I bought it off of someone. I wasn't going to say that I was. And this is one of those moments where God just shows up, just like I shared with the situation with my daughter, that God becomes more on, it just becomes, you know, real and real. As he was putting me in the back of the car, this guy was like staring in the heavens, like in the sky. And I'm like, what is he doing? And then he just looks at me and he says this. He goes, "Young man, I don't even know what's come over me. I've never done this in all of my years as a police officer, but I just have this inclination to let you know I will not be showing up to court 3 times. I'm like, okay. He goes, "Do you know what that means, young man?" I was like, "No." "That means your case will be dropped." I remember going into the cell, and out of all the cells that I went into, what was already carved on the wall is these words: "God is still with you." Around 4 a.m, he let me go, and the police officer kept his word. And that was the last time I ever sold drugs.
Wow. Wonderful.
And
amazing story.
Yeah, I remember walking from downtown Newark all the way where I live. That's pretty far. That's pretty far. And I was praising God, and I didn't care who was around. And there was this one guy. He was like, "Why are you thanking God?" From across the street. He goes, "Because I was locked up and I'm free." He goes, "That's something to celebrate. I got some beers. You want a drink?" I was like, "Yes, hallelujah, let's go." So I'm drinking some beers with this stranger. And I got to even share my story. But it was genuine, pure joy. And I realized that that's called God's grace. And I'm just grateful that if it wasn't for that moment, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Wow. Synchronicity, huh?
Mm.
You hit the right police officer, or the right police officer. Now, why did he stop you in the first place, though?
I guess I look like a drug dealer.
I know, but don't they have to have probable cause? I mean, don't they have to have something?
Sure.
That's what he said, and he was right. But of course, I didn't tell him that. I just told him I bought it off of someone, and I'm pretty quick with my wits, and I started telling him where I bought it and so. I didn't say the person's name, of course, but I just said where, and yeah, he just came up to me and just said that.
You know, there sometimes there's unconscious conversations going on. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's something beneath the surface. So he picked up something beneath the surface about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he told you that. He already had a feeling, right?
Yeah.
It had to be that, because that's why he gave you that break. But I still don't know why he stops you, because there should be probable cause. You know, you weren't doing something.
No, I wasn't.
Why could he, how did he have the right to inspect what was in your pocket if you didn't give him a reason to stop you? So I do believe that that's wrong of police to do that. But on the other hand, it was the right one.
He was
right?
Trying to save your life.
Yes, maybe that was it. Maybe he was an angel instead.
I mean, it
maybe
reminds
he was an angel.
Reminds me of a verse that says, "All things work together for good to those who love God."
Right.
And that worked for me. Imagine I never got stopped. You know, you just don't know. So I'm grateful,
so
because it instilled the fear of God in me in a really good way, that I was scared. And I said to myself, you know, I mean, mind you, I was just there. I remember being in one of the cells, and I had a dream. I was home with a lot of food around me, and I was happy. And you know, and then I woke up. I'm like, oh, my God, Well, you know, I'm in his cell. And the dream felt so real. It felt so real. And I just said, the devil's a bastard. Because it felt so real. And I was like, wow, you know. But I think you're right on something, because you remind me, the police officer who took my fingerprints looked at me and said, you look like a good kid just doing something bad. I always knew I had a good heart. I knew it. I remember even on the when I was sell drugs, and I know now it was the voice of God. I would think, and I will fight against this in my mind, that I will have these thoughts that used to be a child, like the person I gave the drug. That used to be a kid,
right?
And I always noticed that when my friends weren't around or I saw someone homeless, I would buy them food. So you know, one of the things I've always noticed about me, and you know, I believe we're all made in the image of God, and you know, my mother's love, my mom and my grandmother are two solid Christian women, and they loved me in a way that was very close to probably how God loves us. So I think that had a lot to do with the kind of heart I had, you know. So.
That's wonderful. Well, you've been listening to Catskills Renaissance Radio, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our final segment with the Rev. Charles Perez.
No. Perez.
Perez.
I like it.
Stay with us.
My name is Lee Criso. My partner, Rio, is an author, health researcher, and promoter of adding more raw and unprocessed foods to your diet. In times like these, the best way to stay healthy is to get boosted. No, I'm not talking about the jab. I'm talking about Rio's book, Hooked on Raw, that teaches you how to boost your immune system, strive for optimum health, look better, feel better, and stay on the path to rejuvenation. The book has over 325 pages, full of power recipes, along with valuable life-changing information. When you purchase Hooked on Raw for only $29.95, I'm going to also include Rio's DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, a $19.95 value, absolutely free. Go to hookedonraw.com to order this limited special. That's hookedonraw.com. You'll be glad you did. That's hookedonraw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Catskills Renaissance Radio Show. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Criso.
Right here on CatskillsRadioTV.com.
And our very special guest today is the Reverend Charles Perez with the Berryville Community Church in Berryville, New York. His website is berryvillecommunitychurch.com. To continue our conversation and bring it back a little bit, Rev. Charles, you had said, and I don't believe you answered fully, the question that you thought one of the people in your former church, you felt that they had a bias against you because you were unvaccinated. For the record, Lee and myself are unvaccinated, and in this community, we know many, many people that are unvaccinated. So you're not out there on your own, Rev.
And we're healthy.
And we're healthy. We haven't had COVID. We haven't had anything. We haven't had a sniffle. Nothing.
Yeah, because nobody mentions diet, your immune system, and taking care of yourself and not eating junk food.
Or vitamin C, vitamin D3, K2, zinc, quercetin. They don't mention any of that.
Stop
you know?
It.
Wash your hands and wear a mask and 6 feet.
Stop it, you radical.
Right. So, Rev, getting back to that question, because I must say, and I'm saying this jokingly, you were a little like a politician. You didn't answer that question directly. How did you find out, or how did you feel, how were you made to feel that might be one of the reasons?
And the reason why, you know, I don't have anything in a sense like factual or anything written on paper.
Nothing concrete.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So I think it's just because it kept bringing, that was the issue. That was always the issue.
Mm.
You know, I had to get a test once a week.
Oh, my.
They made me do that.
Oh, my.
And this is the ironic thing, and this is the crazy thing. All of them came out negative. I have even proof of emails that I never actually got COVID while being in their presence.
Wow.
And so, and I knew it was an issue. It just made it seem like I'm not keeping them safe. I don't care about them. I truly believe they gave in to fear. And you saw an ugly side of, look, there's good Christians, there's bad Christians, there's good atheists, there's bad atheists, and so forth.
And so, and sometimes it's not a matter of good or bad, but sometimes it's ignorance, especially since there was so much censorship going on in the last 3 years and still continuing. So people that just listen or read mainstream media don't have other scientists, researchers, doctors that they're listening to. They're only listening to one narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that you had an inkling because they kept saying, well, you're going to the store without a mask.
Yeah, of course. That means you're watching me. that means, how do you know this information?
Exactly.
And it's not like I will go into someone's store and say, well, I don't feel like wearing a mask. I believe in this. This is your institution. This is your building. You are the owner. If you wanted me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. And my compromise was fine. I will take a test once a week. I'll wear a mask. But where I drew the line is that I just don't feel comfortable taking these vaccines. And they didn't want to honor what God has given us from the beginning of humankind, free will. And so I felt like, you know, from that point on, there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes. There were certain talks with the higher ups.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what eventually got me out of there. But I could see today that it was a blessing in disguise, and definitely happier after 6 months, because it's been that long, or 7 months.
To that issue, Rev, there's been a big disconnect created between people, between the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. There's been a chasm created. And to me, it seems like it's artificial, because now we're discovering through all these papers that are coming out and all the release of the Pfizer papers and all of that, to people who actually read those things, we're finding out that having the vaccine does not prevent you from passing it on to somebody else. It does not prevent you from getting COVID. We know that because the Prez has had it for three times already.
And took their medicine too. And which was a suppressant. So right after he stopped taking it, he got it again.
Now we know that those are the facts. And the narrative has changed also in the 3 years. First it was, you couldn't get it, you couldn't pass it on. No side effects, you know, just maybe a little sore arm or something. And now we know that we have myocarditis, we have people dropping dead, there's a surge of unexpected deaths in all age categories, not just 70 and 80, but young people. So we know all this is happening, but this chasm has been created where, I mean, I don't even know how to heal this. What I know is I've had friends that have called me back in the beginning, not recently, you know, I'm a potential murderess because I refuse to get vaccinated. But you see, I was lecturing on the genetic engineering of foods for 10 years. I lectured on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I already knew about genetic engineering, and this is what it is. They have genetically engineered people with this fake vaccine that they've got. How do you feel that this chasm that has been artificial created between people, how is that going to be healed up?
No, one of the things that I've always had a vision in this place is how to get people who think differently around the same table. And one of my gifts by God's grace is that I make friends and I connect with all walks of life, you know. And one of the things that we have to do in this community is, how do we teach people in a very civil, respectful way coming together? And you do need some good regulations and rules and a good mediator, non-biased, where we could listen to each other, you know, and purposely say, okay, here goes a group of people that are vaccinated and believe this to be true, and this is their facts and there's truth. But the opposite, those that are unvaccinated and feel a certain way. And not that we're going to have a debate, not that we're going to convince each other, but at the end of the day, when we finish this conversation and everybody's actually listening to each other, they come to realize the commonality of who we are as human beings. And why do we let these things divide us and now allow us to be a community where we could come together using each other's resources and blessing each other and making a beloved community where we can come together no matter the color of our skin, no matter if vax or unvax, no matter our religion? Because one thing I do know that God wants is community. And in that word community, there is unity. And so teaching a community how to do that and realize that we could be friends in spite of our differences is part of what I believe is building the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Amen. Amen, Red. Right. Well, one other thing that I believe is that, oh gosh, it just went out of my head. I had a really good point and it slipped away.
Well, you brought up it's really a good point, just people being able to communicate with each other in a civil manner. I remember there were certain groups where you had people on the right, people on the left, and they were just, or whatever the issue was, whatever was being said was just totally nasty. You'd never say it to a person face to face what they were saying to each other online. And I'm not really for censorship, but we have to have a certain amount of civility and be able to discuss things. There's a group here on Facebook. It's called Living in Berryville, and there's a moderator on it.
He's a new moderator.
Yeah. And if he disagrees with anything, you're gone. It's funny. I was very concerned because before I got kicked off, this is, I guess, going back to this, I think during the summer, there were these chemtrails that it wasn't from airplanes, the exhaust. They were
It wasn't contrails.
Yeah.
It was chemtrails.
Chemtrails. And all I did on this group was to say, oh, is anybody concerned about these chemtrails? I wonder what's in them. And for that, I literally got ousted from this group. And before I got ousted, I noticed there was somebody, a couple of people who went to certain, to a restaurant, and they said, gee, we didn't care for the meal that much at this restaurant. And they got bounced and all, and I'd be reading that the guy who's the moderator, oh, another one bites the dust. Are we that scared, or is he that scared, to have anybody say something on in his group that's different than, oh, it's a nice day, I had a great time. Actually, when he called me a wacko after I put up that post, I emailed a response to him actually saying, should I just say it's a nice day and not, comment on anything else?
Was that a private email or did you post it on?
No, I just posted his, okay. When he called me a wacko, maybe I am a wacko. Oh, well. But that was it.
I think you have to be a little wacky to survive.
So, I mean, can't we face any question that we that's different than what we believe in?
And I think that we got to give people the benefit of the doubt. I believe in that. I believe that we need to learn the art of listening. The art of listening, even if you think that what that person is saying is contrary to what the narrative is in the world we live in. And I think that's important because I've come to realize if I only listen to what I want to listen to and what I want to be true, and even within my own Christianity, I realized something that I can't think. And that's one of the reasons why I know I was kicked out of the United Methodist Church, because they wanted me to think like them. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, I cannot do that. I can't become someone that I'm not meant to be. And so for them, one of the reasons I know I was kicked out, according to them, I wasn't Methodist enough. And so the reality is that, you know, I have expanded my mind to think beyond what I was taught. And so it's unfortunate that the word conspiracy theory is something that was made up by the FBI. And so quickly.
CIA made that up. Yeah.
And so it's to make people in the community and, you know, in our culture to think that, and then they list it under certain things like what you said, like chemtrails. And so that's now under the list of the COVID vaccine, you know, right. You know, these taboos, these things that, all right, community, we don't want you to talk about this. We don't want you to touch these subjects, which makes me even think, well, why are you so scared? Why are you so concerned to have people talk about these things and to speak that it's not what you say? I live in a world now that everything that I was taught is not to be true. You're just trying to force this narrative that has been going on for eons or decades and centuries as the truth. No, I need to research. I need to listen to what people have to say. And of course, at the end of the day, I'll come up with my conclusion. But just because I have this conclusion, and let's say you don't think the way I think, why should I stop that from me building relationship with you and being friends? Right. You know, I think that's one of the most ignorant things that we can ever do. And we live in a world that on purposely is trying to box us to be with the same people who look like us, talk like us, act like us. And so this divisive spirit is done on purpose and is definitely not from God.
Well, no. This is nothing. This is nothing new, especially in the medical community. If you go back to the 1800s, I guess, mid to late 1800s, Dr. Joseph Lister, I guess that's where Listerine comes from, antiseptic, he was telling surgeons to wash their hands before they did an operation.
Operations.
Yeah, and they wanted to have him committed. They thought he was crazy, and they silenced him. You know, hey, that's not the science. You go to the 1960s, where the cigarette company, on TV commercials, Camel cigarettes they were saying 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Camels. Really? I mean, this is not that long ago.
This is why discussion is so important. You have to keep discussing. You know, one of the things that the mainstream narrative says is, listen to the science. Listen to the science. Well, what does that mean? Science needs to be questioned. Science needs to be questioned. I just remembered what I was going to say before. I think that one of the reasons that this got so out of hand is that most people are innately kind. And when they came up with the untruth that you could infect somebody else even if you don't have enough virus in your own body to infect yourself, they used people's own kindness against them. People said, oh, well, I don't want to do this to my relatives or my neighbor or my children or whatever. They used people's own kindness against them because that thought, people that are kind, they say, oh, I don't want to be the cause of something like that.
Don't kill grandma.
Yeah, don't kill grandma. But the whole thing is that now we know from all of the disclosures that have been happening that it was just a big lie. It was just a big lie all along.
You know, there's something interesting that you said that I'd like to see what your thoughts are, Rio. So, you know, the switching of the definition of vaccine, I find that very interesting. You know, because it changed.
It changed.
Yeah. It changed the definition because of this.
And so this, by changing it, I truly believe is to make people feel more comfortable to take it. But is it fair to say that what you're really putting inside yourself is more of gene therapy?
Well, I wouldn't call it therapy because they call it therapy, yes. That's what they're using. But in my mind, therapy is something good, you know.
Fair enough.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I would say it would be a gene manipulation that they're doing.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's what they've foisted on people under the guise of vaccine. It's not really a vaccine comparable to any other vaccine that we've ever had before.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I was just curious about that.
So, the Rev, tell us about your church. Tell us about your website. Tell us about your offerings.
Sure.
Promote yourself, Rev.
No.
Charles.
It's, no, to me, this is about focusing on what Christianity should be. And that is Jesus as the main figure, his teachings, the gospel, the good news, and his mission. You know, and a lot of the stuff that I just shared about community, about coming together and vitality and life, while I probably would use words of that's the risen Christ and so forth. So that's why Barryville Community Church exists. I'm going to be very honest, and I don't even care if people like me or not for this, but I had the opportunity, and I know God did this on purpose, to come around these churches. I visited these churches because I felt as a father, I'm not a minister at the moment, but I felt like I wanted to keep the Holy Sabbath day. You know, and so I will go around, and besides the Catholic Church, which I had 8 years of that, and just like you, Lee, how you felt with your Jewish religion, it just got to a point that it just felt like rituals. It just felt like I'm reading stuff, but it didn't feel like there was any spirituality in it. And I had 8 years to try. I think that's a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was just, you go in these places and you don't see no kids. It just felt like an assembly line that just keeps on going. It just felt like we're just here to do what we've always done. You know, where is the excitement? Where is the life? Where is the smiles? You know, where is the good vibe? Where is the energy? Where? In other words, where is the Spirit of God and where is the truth of God? And so it just feels like, you know, the idol has become the denomination itself. That's what the idol is. You're serving this institution now. You have lost your way. You have compromised your beliefs. You're not focusing it on Christ. You know, it's very simple. A 66-book Bible, according to the Protestant Bible, could be summed up in these four words. Love God and love people. And there's four ways to love God. Your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. And you need to work on that. And a lot of these places, where is your heart? Where is your soul? If Jesus is the love of your life and this is your Savior and your Lord, why is it that you do not care for anyone else? Why is it you're not out there in the community, you know, helping out? And that is the problem. I have a serious beef with the church not being who God wanted it to be. I said this to the Barryville Community Church. I say, if we do not care for the community, your religion is in vain.
I have limited knowledge of the religious side, but I think I heard a story where when Jesus came, he went to the temple and he was like, wasn't there a story where he was like pushing it all down because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do?
He threw out the money changers.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
He flipped tables and so forth.
He flipped tables.
And let me tell you, Jesus was harsh with those religious leaders who would do it in a way that it was awful. He called them, you sons of hell. Think about that. He says, you bloody vipers. He insulted them. He said, you're like this bowl. You're clean on the outside, but you're dirty in the inside. So you look all holy. You say the right things, but in your heart of hearts, all you do is you care about yourself.
Well, that's true today. The other thing is a lot of people who are, paranoid about people different from them. Our perception of Jesus today, if you look at pictures, he looks like a blondish hair guy, you know, from Europe. And he wasn't. He was from the Middle East. If Jesus was walking down the street today, you'd say, oh, is this guy a terrorist?
Yeah, and then of course they put the whole blue eye, blonde hair, but he looks nothing like that.
Exactly.
And that's to justify, you know, like you brought up, you know, segregation and churches. Martin Luther King said it. He said 11 a.m. is the most segregated time in America. And so the reality is that, you know, I do believe in this, and this is where someone will put the alarm on me being a conspiracy theorist. I do believe in this. There are people who work behind the scenes that they are what the Bible call evildoers. Those are the people who embody evil. They do harm. What are the Ten Commandments all about? Do you know that the first couple of them is about not harming your relationship with God, your creator? And then the rest of them is about not harming people. Any logical person with a decent heart, if you put down these Ten Commandments, even take away the whole God thing, but just how we treat people, do not steal, do not kill, you know, do not covet, you know, do not take what's not yours. Honor your father and mother. Any logical human with a decent heart, and let's just tell them, take away its Ten Commandments, because there's a lot of misconceptions or people at times with religion or God want to push away. But if you put it in a way that you have nothing connection with Ten Commandments, and you say, hey guys, imagine if we do this, these rules here as a community. Won't most people say, I agree with this? Because the reality is, what God's message to the world in the Bible is, don't do harm to people. That's what it is. Don't do harm.
You mean we should not send $100 billion to the Ukraine to fight a war?
Well,
listen, don't get into that. Don't bring that's a whole other hour, okay?
Oh, wait a minute.
Don't bring that. But you know what I would like to bring in, if you don't mind, is there's an idea out there that there people are waiting for the second coming of Christ. Have you heard that idea? The second coming of Christ, right? I've heard that a lot. And I have pondered that over and over. And what I believe, and I don't know if this makes sense to you, Rev. Charles.
Go ahead.
But I think the second coming of Christ is when it becomes manifest. And this makes me actually cry. I said
uh-oh.
I wasn't going to cry in this,
Real
but it makes me cry. It has to come in each person. That's where it's coming from. In each person. It's not going to be coming from the outside. Mm. It's going to be coming from the inside. Mm. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it says that the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within you.
Right.
And so, you know, God is not worried about or thinking about an actual temple these days, but the temple of who you are, you know? And so I do believe that some way, somehow, you know, this coming of Christ is more of saving those that are being afflicted, you know, and those that are being oppressed into a world. The reality is the prince of darkness, the pattern of this world, I believe in three enemies. This is our three enemies. Number one, our own sinful nature. There's something within us that we're broken. And if, you know, I'm a sinner just like anyone else, but thank God that my relationship with God helps me at least not to allow the worst of me to come out.
Okay, so I know you have three, and we're almost coming to the end now, but I just want to tell you, my view is completely opposed to that. Mm-hmm. I believe that we are innocent at heart. We are mostly innocent. We are mostly, just like I said before, the reason that they were able to foist this narrative on us is because people wanted to be kind. And that's why they went along with it. So I think in most people are innocent inside. They're not sinners. But continue with your second and third
but
point.
But even in being kind, they still harmed. Even if that was their intention.
But it was because of ignorance and because of not being able to hear other voices. It was because of censorship. Made that conclusion.
No, definitely. And this is where you have those people who are sinister. These are the people hiding behind the scenes that manipulating.
We would call the elites.
Well, and that's to me the evil of this pattern of this world.
Go on quickly with your second and third points, and then I am going to promote you because you didn't do it for yourself.
No.
Second and third points.
No, it's very simple. It's within ourselves as broken people since we ate the fruit. Original sin, number two, the pattern of this world, and number three, the devil himself. And so, you know, these are the things that we're up against, and, you know, and we don't have the time to continue elaborating.
This show is to be continued because, Rev, you are truly one of a kind, truly unique, and we are so grateful to have you in our community. But I want to tell our listeners where you can find the Rev. Berryvillecommunitychurch.com. Berryvillecommunitychurch.com, and from there you can find his Facebook page. You can find where to communicate with him, where his services are on Sunday in Berryville at 10 o'clock, and then he has... Tell us about the other two things. You have something on Wednesday and something on Friday?
Yeah, on Wednesday, it's like a community Bible study potluck. And so first we come together, and we sit around the table. We eat, we drink, we enjoy each other's company. It's welcome to all kinds of people. And if you're hungry or you just don't want to be by yourself, you know, you just want to be around people. And
that's Wednesday at what time?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
And then at 7, we do a Bible study. I do it more of, I get tired of hearing myself on Sunday and nobody talks back to me. So I bring questions. I said to all of them, you are all a theologian in your own right mind. We all can say something, and this is what I think God is, or this is how God perceives it. And we listen to each other, and that's how we learn. And then Friday at 5 p.m., we have a children ministry. And so it's the concept of first we pray and then we play. And so the kids, you know, they learn about God, you know, fundamentals, and then the last hour. Like I was playing Jenga with the kids, you know. They're playing, you know, tag, you know, they're playing ice hockey, you know, there's board games. And, you know, I truly believe in this. Let a child be a child. And when they become adult, because they got it all out their system, they could be adults.
Exactly. And we want to thank you so much for being our guest today. And we also want to thank you for bringing this church to our community. Thank you.
No, thank you too.
You've been listening to Catskills Renaissance Radio Show. My name is Rio and my co-host Lee Crisot. We want to say until the next time, stay in tune with nature and God, and you'll be in tune with yourself.